Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like... Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler, and on this recording I'm joined by Jason.
Hi.
Melissa.
Hey.
Aaron.
Hi.
And Dave.
Hello.
How's everybody doing?
I'm feeling good.
Pretty good this week?
Pretty good.
So good. Feeling refreshed.
Ready to talk about Dragon Ball Z?
I feel like my power level has increased slightly.
You've been doing some weight training?
Sure, let's go with that.
Turning on the artificial gravity?
That's definitely what I'll tell everyone.
Dave, do you have a trainer or are you just sort of self-taught?
I do have a trainer.
Who's your trainer?
She's wiser than all of the... you know, sages and kings and warriors and kill 6 billion demons. So she's a great...
Is she also like a cat?
Is she Miss Pizza?
Like a cat with a stick?
No.
Gotta get one of those
she
cats.
She is a Criminal Minds fan. Which to me as a Law and Order fan is like the, you know, cats versus dogs dichotomy.
So I see.
I'm not sure if that counts.
Would you like for your fighting style to be a little closer to how Goku does it?
I personally would.
That sounds a little scary, to be honest, but I'll say yes.
So, Tyler, what exactly are you referring to?
Well, I found this website. It's really cool. It's called wikihow.com.
Yeah?
Oh, no.
And people can just write whatever they want on there.
Oh, no.
It is a place of learning.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to learn.
So
it is the new academy.
I'm already sitting down, but I'm going to stand back up and sit down again. Just to make absolutely certain I'm ready for WikiHow.
I found an article entitled How to Fight Like Goku.
Okay.
It says 89% of readers found this article helpful.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's pretty high.
I'm going to get my pen so I can take notes.
710 votes.
Wow.
Really?
Yep.
It's very good for WikiHow.
Goku is a legend. One of the most hardcore brawling fighters in anime history. If you want to achieve brawling bossiness, read these tips. Goku isn't just a physical fighter either. And that's how that ends.
Sure, all right, now it's WikiHow.
Step one. And listen carefully. Be a good puncher and kicker.
That's okay. Pretty fundamental.
Practice 100 punches and kicks a day.
Wait,
does that mean 100 of both? Or
yeah,
per
punches
limb?
Slash kicks. So maybe either or.
Can it be 50-50? I feel like this is important.
Is this 100 different punches and kicks, or 100 of like each kind of punch and kick you know?
That's a good question.
I think just like a medley.
I say mix it up.
Yeah.
I say jump into light fierce first and then mix it up from there.
Don't rush into it if you can't do 100 punches yet. Do baby steps and eventually work up to 100 punches and kicks. It can be any punch and kick as long as you're getting a workout.
Okay.
Be sure to use proper form. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a heavy bag, punch the air. Mm-hmm. When your punches get good enough, add wrist weights or dumbbells. Two little fibers.
wait, hang on. Is that an editorializing, Mr. Crowley?
That one's me.
That's okay. You, okay.
That's me making a little more flowery for us.
Mm. Some purple prose.
But be careful, because they can hurt your joints. Remember to do them slowly.
Yeah, you don't want to fuck around with those too intensely.
Step two. Work out hard till you can do it. 100 push-ups, sit-ups, squats, pull-ups, and when you get strong enough, work on their variations, like one-arm push-ups or pistol squat, etc. Give your muscles a break for 1 to 3 days. Try to make your own routine, and use proper form. Never use ankle weights when kicking.
Yeah.
Goku doesn't need fucking ankle weights.
Yeah.
Is there a date on this WikiHow?
Is there a date on it?
Yeah.
I do not see a date of when this was written.
I'm just curious as to whether
it says it was updated 2 days ago.
Oh, dang. I was just curious if it was written before or after the person in question saw One Punch Man.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I was about to say, is this One Punch Man's training regimen?
Step 3, practice handstands until you are able to walk on your hands for at least 10 seconds.
Oof.
Step 4, increase your jumping power.
That's trickier.
Samurai Jack?
Yeah.
Learn to jump.
Step 5, spar with a friend, but remember to use boxing gloves and protective equipment. Go all out, but play it safe. Those seem mutually exclusive
to
me.
Yeah, pick one.
Yo, boxing gloves are not soft. Those suckers hurt.
No, they're not.
No.
Step 6, enhance your agility. Practice your flips as much as you can and learn safe rolls.
Hang on.
Just practice your flips, Jason. This is basic stuff.
Yeah, the flips you already do on a regular basis.
If you can't handle the flips, you're never going to be ready for training in high gravity.
No.
Step 7, run as fast as you can. Step 8, learn to block, grapple, dodge, and trap.
And trap?
Yeah, that's one. That whole step is become expert in hand-to-hand combat.
Step 9.
Krav Maga.
Step 9, stretch 5 to 7 days a week for 10 minutes, till you can do the splits.
Wait, that's not the first step?
Nuh-uh, that's step 9.
Wait a minute.
No, you need to stretch first.
Immediately following, step 10, practice parkour.
Hang on now. I don't know if Goku's that much of a parkour boy.
If flying is parkour.
Yeah, I was about to say.
It's like really long parkour.
He parkours between the objects. Atmosphere. Yeah.
I feel like that would fit in a list of how to fight like Gohan.
Step 11. In a fight, always look for the quickest and simplest way to defeat your opponent. And finally, step 12, shadow box or hit the heavy bag to increase your hand-eye coordination and speed. Make your own combinations, too, and don't work too hard because our bodies aren't as strong as Goku's.
I mean, at the end of the day, I do like these tips because it's very accessible. It allows you to make a regimen kind of anywhere without any expensive equipment, really.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them get a little out of hand vis-a-vis parkour and stuff like that, but honestly, hey, it's like, don't go too hard because you're not Goku.
Yeah. I like that the article is called How to Fight Like Goku, and the very last step basically says, you will never be Goku.
You gotta manage those expectations. Right into the dirt.
You gotta chase that dream.
Have to accept. It's just like having to learn to know yourself. You must know that you are weak.
Absolutely. Dave, do you feel like you learned anything?
I feel like I lost knowledge.
That's a shame.
In the grand scheme of things.
Well, you guys ready to discuss the episodes this week?
Yeah. Well, wait a minute, Tyler. What exactly is it that we even do here?
Well, being a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast, we watch episodes of Dragon Ball Z, and then we talk about it and record it for others to hear.
Sounds fun to me.
Every week thus far, this being the 13th week, we have watched 3 episodes of the Funimation dub and the sub as well on Funimation Now. And this week we are covering episodes 37, 38, and 39, which is the conclusion of quote-unquote Season 1.
Season 1. I feel like seasons is a bit... people trying to apply seasons to Dragon Ball Z always rings a little hollow for me. Growing up, they were never seasons. They were sagas.
Right.
And the sagas were defined by the biggest enemy in that saga.
Yes. True.
And also, like, trying to divide Dragon Ball Z up into seasons strikes me as trying to impose, you know, moral limits onto whatever the hell Toriyama is. It's never gonna work.
Yeah.
I am almost certain that this breakdown is just because of how many episodes Funimation could put in a box set.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right, that makes sense.
You're never going to contain that pure energy.
So we have... with this, we have officially concluded the Saiyan Saga, or Vegeta Saga, depending on who you ask. And our next saga coming up will be the Namek Saga, yeah?
Yeah. A little bit of filler in between.
Delicious filler.
Filler.
The good stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan.
Like the jelly in the donut. Full disclosure, I have only watched 1.5 of the episodes for this week.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the last episode. as we try to describe it to you.
Yes, let's see.
I will just be gasping in wonder or horror. One of the two, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes well, we should make this a permanent fixture. Have one person on who's just never seen any of it.
Episode 37, the English title is Plans for Departure.
Yes, and the Japanese title translates to The Mysterious Yunzibit, The Search for Kami-sama's Spaceship.
So the episode begins, and it's finally nighttime on Earth. Like 3 days later.
It's a long summer.
About darn time.
And there's a hazmat crew that is loading up Nappa's ship.
This super not shady sudden government dig site.
Yeah.
I was surprised at first at how, like, not invested these guys were about aliens. So I feel like in our world, and knowing several science people, they'd be so excited to be on this team. But given what we've discovered about how recent, like, technology and civilization has developed,
yeah,
perhaps these guys just aren't invested in it yet.
They're not equipped to deal with that, or to be impressed by it.
Like, whatever.
I feel like all of the scientists that were invested in it were all at a summit in East City.
Oh, no!
Later on, like, the very next scene, it's daytime again. Mm-hmm. So it was a very quick night.
Yeah.
And we're at a hospital, and Goku is losing his mind screaming.
We're at the... It looked like, from the screenshot outside, it was like the Wukong Hospital. There was something in front of the vowel.
It's Goku's hospital?
It might have been just an Easter egg, but that's what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
WUK, a building, NG.
Mm, so signs point to yes.
There's a screenshot of this actually on the wiki. And it is
Does
definitely...
Wukong Hospital have a page?
I don't know. I'll look it up. In medias res.
Krillin and Gohan are waiting outside the door, and they're both traumatized by the screaming that's happening. But Chi-Chi is forcing Gohan to do his backlog of homework.
And Roshi seems very unimpressed by Krillin's obvious post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Roshi doesn't give a fuck about this whole thing.
Gohan's studying his science book, if anybody cares what he's...
Does it just say science?
Yes.
I was curious because I wrote down a book that he's reading later.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't remember to write this one down.
Yeah, it just says science.
Covers
just
every
general
field.
Science.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like science and atomic robo.
Mm-hmm. An extremely unempathetic nurse comes out. And she does not understand why Goku's screaming as much as he is. And she calls next patient like it's the DMV. Like, who's next?
So Goku is completely wrapped in bandages.
Yes.
They've even managed to perform the incredibly difficult and hazardous operation of squeezing his hair underneath the bandages.
Yeah, yes. That's impressive.
They had to fly in a specialist from South, all the way from South City.
I'm very impressed by these nurses, because I'm guessing from the fact that there's a whole team of them there, plus some mysterious man who might be a doctor, a manager, or a legal consultant, just to change his bandages, which suggests to me that there were some issues earlier on.
Could be.
I watched the Japanese version of this scene, hoping that they would give some insight to why they're being so cold, I guess you could say, to Goku and his pain, and there's basically no difference between the English and Japanese version. It's just, why are you complaining so much?
A true adaptation.
I wonder if it really is not that big a deal, but Goku just doesn't know how to deal with pain outside the context of a fight.
Yeah, when the adrenaline is pumping, he's ready. Maybe Saiyan adrenaline is just so intense. Can ignore so much damage. By the way, a quick update. Wukong Hospital, in fact, does have its own Wikipedia page.
Of course it does.
Marked on the top of their building with a white shield symbol with a red plus sign in the middle of it, which I might add is technically improper use of the Red Cross logo.
Japan don't care.
Now remember, kids, that's not public domain. There are actually a lot of video games, in fact, that have been targeted by the Red Cross for the use of the little plus sign
for the
to denote health items. Mm-hmm. So some games get around this by subtly changing the textures after the game releases via patches, or releasing the game with maybe a white box with a green plus sign. To denote health. Wukong Hospital, though, they don't care.
Flying under the radar.
Exactly.
Until this day.
We gotcha.
We're calling them out.
Gohan and Krillin are up next, and they try to escape, but Chi-Chi and Roshi lift them respectfully.
Chi-Chi carries Gohan like the baby she wants him to be, and Roshi holds Krillin like Donkey Kong holds a barrel.
I thought it was like Krillin was a baby, and he was like they were like playing airplane. Which, you know, Krillin's tiny.
I made a note of Krillin's cry for help around here, which is something to the effect of... It was just very, very unique.
Yeah.
I made a note here that Krillin and Gohan only sustain anime injuries, while Goku is mummified in bandages.
Goku has been... entombed securely within the medical coffin.
We get our first look at Goku, and he's in an iron lung.
Yes. He is in a Capsule Core brand iron lung.
I like that he has little buttons he can push with his chin, though.
Yeah, that's nice. Smart design.
He's so happy, though. He's so ridiculously happy.
And well, now that the bandages are done.
Yeah, and like even as they're talking in the Japanese version, he says that the doctors told him he may never be his old self again, with a huge grin on his face.
Oh.
Oh my god.
That's fine by me. I always want to be a new self.
Mm-hmm. Pure of heart.
Focus on the now.
Live in the moment.
Constantly destroying and recreating himself.
There is no old self.
Whoa. Now that's kung fu.
Can we give a shout out to these talented nurses who managed to work down Goku's hair into a mummified shape.
Yeah, that's what I said.
The specialist from South City.
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, I wonder, I don't know because I haven't seen in the future. How long is Goku in those bandages?
It's a while.
So I wonder if they just cut it off and then by the time you see Goku again, it's grown back.
Well, they kind of cheat later, so.
Yeah.
Can we work the specialist from South City into Mr. Satan's story somehow?
We absolutely need to.
Yes.
It's imperative.
So, the Ox King is jolly again, and it reminds me of Santa Claus.
Krillin has a very good Yajirobe impression. He mocks him for his cowardice.
You mean the beating you got when you were begging the Saiyan not to hurt you?
Please, I don't want to die. I was just kidding. I'd never do that to you. Hey, maybe we could work together, huh?
I was trying to get him to let his guard down so I could take him out, you idiot.
Pretty spot on, actually.
Really good.
I wrote down Roshi is mildly senile, but I don't remember why I wrote that.
Because when Bulma comes in with her new hair, he does not recognize her.
Yeah,
and it takes him a minute.
Speaking
Bulma
of which,
rushes in with some brand new fashion.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love this outfit.
Bulma
I love her
with
hair.
The good hair.
Good hair. Yes. Love the red jeans.
The jeans, Mama.
And a yellow belt.
Yeah.
Purple clutch.
The shirt is a little. I mean, it's obviously I got the shirt from work. This is just for my. This is like my laundry day shirt. You know,
it's
what I
utilitarian.
Mean? Yeah, but it so works. She makes it work.
Jason, is this the fashion that you told me was your favorite Bulma fashion?
This, we're getting close.
Okay.
It is during this chunk of episodes.
Gotcha.
Hair-wise, this look is like peak Bulma hair. It is teased. It is like it's like a full Gibson girl hairdo. It's got the one tuft going up, and no matter how harsh the wind blows, as we may soon find out, it always returns into its perfect place.
I really like that side tuft. Like, it makes me think of if somebody, like, you know, had long hair and shaved the side of their head a little bit and wanted to grow it out.
It's a little undercutty. Like. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it is so good.
On top of Bulma's fashion, she has some news on TV.
No.
That she shows everybody. There's a report going on the recovered spaceship live on television.
This is strange to me, because it appears to have been recovered and taken to a lab somewhere.
Yeah.
So presumably the government is studying it.
Presumably.
And they're like, darn, they got to it before we could. Now we're going to have to come up with a plan to get it.
I like Krillin's line of, he just says, But we need it.
But it's like, first off,
that darn government.
Couldn't they just ask for it? Like, Yajirobe has established the myth that they are a special task force who saved the Earth.
Yeah, couldn't the fucking Shadow King, Dr. Briefs, pull some strings?
I was literally just about to say, Bulma's dad rules the world.
It is a little odd.
Which makes what happens next even more ridiculous.
I understand, to an extent, Bulma's desire for some flourish and some showmanship with this. Like, she just wants to show off.
Yeah.
So she punches in some random coordinates. I think she says, these will do nicely, as she does it. And she accidentally makes the pod self-destruct.
Bulma may have just murdered several people.
A bit of a misstep. This is the person who reverse-engineered a Saiyan scouter, like, day one.
By poking it a couple times with a screwdriver.
She's so tech-savvy. Like, yeah. This was such a snafu for me.
You know, failure is an important element in success.
Yeah,
it's dumb that they had Bulma do this instead of somebody more gung-ho, like Krillin or Yajirobe, grabbing the thing.
Yeah.
Like, jamming buttons. Yeah, it is a weird choice to have the techie blow the ship up. Yeah.
The authentic genius.
She does, I think this was just in the Japanese version, she blames Krillin because he's the one that picked it up.
So he tampered with it.
And, yeah,
you fucked it up. You put it on the blow up setting instead of the come here setting.
Forgot to change the inputs.
So Krillin wants to ask Mr. Popo for help. He thinks that he could. Well, I forget why he wants to. I took these notes a while ago. I don't remember why Mr. Popo comes up, but as soon as he does, he's outside the window waiting.
Here's my question: did Krillin like casually bring up Mr. Popo, which caused him to just apparate, or was Popo just standing there the whole time and Krillin just kind of caught him in his periphery and then bring him up in conversation?
That one.
The second one.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do I work him in?
Him into this conversation.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I was being very unfair to Bulma. She may have just manslaughtered several people.
Yes.
And also, when the pod blows up, it's like, oh no, now we'll never get to Namek, and Corrin's just like, sure seems that way. Thanks, Corrin!
Oh my god, I have thanks, Corrin, written down too, because he's such a...
High five.
He's an absolute, like, just full-on shitster, that cat. True form, my cat is my favorite character.
That's what he's got that stick for.
I want Corrin and Piccolo to go on a road trip together.
Yes, yes, yes. Write that fic.
Maybe I will. I don't know all the backstory here, but I found it interesting that Roshi didn't know who Mr. Popo was.
Yeah. I don't know that Roshi has met Kami.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a note here that, and feel free to disagree, but Roshi defo, like, his eyebrows went up and he goes, when Popo and Kami were explained, so I think Roshi ships Kami and Mr. Popo.
Oh.
Dirty old man.
Thinking,
for sure.
What's going up on there on that lookout?
All alone, just the two of them. A hyperbolic time chamber for romantic weekends.
Mr. Popo's been around. I feel like he hasn't really been featured yet for me so far in my viewing. And so the notes that I took are verbatim. Do we talk about Mr. Popo? He makes me very uncomfortable. He makes Bulma very uncomfortable, too.
Yeah.
Bulma's discomfort makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bulma and the camera angles are very intense here. Like, Bulma and Popo, like, undertake a battle on the psychic plane, which Bulma inevitably loses.
Yeah, Melissa, during that back and forth, like, where they're getting closer and closer to their faces, is there any kind of sound effect over in Japan?
Oh, not that I noticed.
I was wondering if that was a Funimation edition. I liked it a lot.
Very good.
Because it's kind of Bulma making sort of a nervous sound every time it cuts back to her. And every time it cuts to Popo, he just goes, oh. He's just a little startled by the camera cut.
He's like a predator in the wild. It's as afraid of you as you are of it. A lot of things about DBZ Bridge are making a lot more sense to me now.
Like that close up.
Yeah, I think I have seen the meme of this clip. Mm-hmm. Zooming in. And Like, should we say that Mr. Popo's design is not great?
It's already
problematic.
It's okay.
We have brought it up, but it does bear repeating. It's pretty bullshit.
I was baffled by this. Like, where did this come from? DBZ wasn't made that long ago, was it?
No, that's the problem.
This is I think more of a an issue that Japan has had some trouble letting go of.
Mm-hmm.
There's some
the visual shorthand that they cling to.
Yeah, that's I think a little more people keep doing that and keep wondering why people get upset.
And then the island is very culturally ethnically homogenous, as I understand. So
yeah. It's so it's not great. It doesn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. I guess I did see that. Was it in the ocean dub or one of the other dubs? They like color shifted him
for the Kai release, which played on Nicktoons.
Yeah, they like color shifted
they made him bright blue,
made his lips smaller too.
Yes, God. They did what they could with what they had.
like Piccolo, went to war with the army they had.
Yeah, I feel like they were trying to go for like a Robin Williams genie on Nicktoons.
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like.
Yeah,
I guess.
Because he is kind of a djinn, I guess.
Yeah, the wiki says he is technically listed as like a demigod.
Yeah,
or like or assistant to deities.
Popo says he knows where Kami's old ship is. Somebody has to go with him. Krillin volunteers Bulma, who reluctantly climbs aboard the magic carpet.
There's no science there. It is out of her wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to appreciate that while Roshi was doing one of his patented pervy grandpa things, I appreciated that he backed off at just a glare from Bulma.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that's character growth a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
especially since Bulma and Roshi go pretty far back in terms of shared history, like... Roshi knows the score.
If by bit you mean like a computer memory measurement.
Yeah.
It is about that much character growth for him.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Because they have known each other since episode 3 of Dragon Ball, I think.
God.
Which Dragon Ball was like 130 some odd episodes, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
And that covers quite a bit of time, right?
Yeah.
In world time.
Well, it covers like 15 years of Goku's life.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Popo brings Bulma to a freezing labyrinthian wasteland called Yansbit Heights.
On the other side of the world.
Yeah. After some trekking, they eventually come upon Kami's mossed over spaceship. Popo just leaves Bulma behind because she can't parkour very good.
Yeah, I love this bit. I wrote down, Popo's one of those assholes.
I mean,
Bulma's like, what am I supposed to do about this?
I think she says, I'm not a rabbit.
This kind of goes back to that article that you were reading about, you know, you gotta practice your parkour.
Yeah.
That's, mm-hmm.
Bulma is woefully behind on her flips.
Exactly.
But she makes it up there anyway.
She does. It's a very cool looking spaceship. Looks like a hedgehog.
I really liked the look of it. It looked very different from what I like was expecting.
It's fun when you get into that type of sci-fi stuff where you realize that spaceships don't have to be aerodynamic.
Mm-hmm. Or make sense.
We're breaking all the rules anyway.
Yep. Borg cube.
We get some flashbacks of Kami when he was a child living alone in the wasteland.
This is very convenient.
Mm-hmm.
They keep talking about Kami's parents in this flashback.
Yeah.
I mean, he had to have them. Clearly.
Well, the person who he originally was had to have him.
Yeah.
For the rest of this episode, Mr. Popo really plays into my theory of him and Kami, or at least him, like, maybe not being in love with Kami, but pining after him a little bit, because he very much downplays, like, how much attention he paid to him. Like, I might have picked up a few words here and there of Namekian.
Here's his whole backstory and language.
That he told me after lunch 100 years ago.
After lunch.
After lunch, yeah. Not too long after lunch.
Not right.
The word Piccolo opens up the ship's door, which brings it down to their level so they can get up into the ship, which is apparently a Namekian word.
For door, maybe, or...
I think they say later it means hello.
I think that's right.
There's a bit here that I took note of and I really appreciate, where there is one of those exchanges where, because of the way that the words are cast, like the tone of them, makes absolutely no sense for the dialogue being said. Where Bulma's like, but when he's explaining the whole backstory, Bulma's like, but what does this have to do with this ship? Because during his time here, he found this ship. It's like just making a statement. He's not answering a question. And it's like, okay, so we know for sure that these voice actors were never in the same room together. And they just read their lines with no context.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to note that Kami kind of suffers the Kid Goku treatment, where he gets an unspecified accident and loses his memories.
He does. Gets the whole head bump somehow.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't wind up with a Grandpa Gohan to raise him up good.
The old head bump and amnesia trick?
Mm-hmm.
So, does that mean that when he split up into King Piccolo, does that mean that all this time he was calling himself King Hello?
We've got like a Arrested Development Anyan situation going on.
Yeah. This is King Hermano.
Ah.
I don't know, I thought it was really kind of sad and sweet that like the evil part of him was the part that really was still hung up on this ship and the wanting to, I don't know, conquer and get out, versus the good part of Kami was the one who was like, alright, I'm on Earth, I'm gonna be the best Earth boy.
Well, I also think it's interesting and kind of neat that that apparently their childhoods were actually quite similar. Like, Kami was kind of a feral kid who lived outside of civilization until eventually one day he decided it was time to pack up.
Mm-hmm.
And like him and Piccolo have a surprising amount in common. Or maybe not surprising, I don't know.
Life's not easy being green.
How long have you had that one chambered?
How many episodes has that been chambered?
How long have you been powering up?
Aaron, you brought up an interesting point about King Piccolo pining for sort of the old Namekian ship. I hadn't noticed it before, but before it gets refurbished by Capsule Corp, like in this episode where they're just sort of getting it up and working again, the interior looks shockingly like the airship that King Piccolo first shows up in Dragon Ball.
The throne. Thought that cockpit looked very...
I thought it looked familiar.
Yeah, very throne-y.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
very...
That's
a lot like it.
So he just had that in his mind for when he was going to conquer, I guess. The blueprint.
I mean, Kami's got that blueprint to make Dragon Balls. I'm thinking there's some sort of, you know, genetic memory going on.
Yeah. King Hello has the warships.
Is that how Namekians say hello?
Piccolo.
No, I mean, do they say hello by sending warships?
Oh.
Well, I mean, that's possible, to be honest, because I realized, this didn't occur to me the first time I watched these episodes, but when I rewatched them before the recording, this jumped out at me. So Bumble gets the spaceship working.
Yeah.
When in doubt, start pressing some buttons, she says.
Yep.
Because apparently she's very eager to be inside the next spaceship that she blows up when it explodes.
She needs more data.
About explosions. They get working. It turns out it's operated on voice commands, but you need to be able to speak Namekian to make it work.
Yeah.
And then it jumps them to Jupiter in, I think, 10 seconds.
It's very fast.
It took the Saiyans pods, like, a few weeks to get across the solar system. And then the journey that they end up making in the spaceship, I think, takes a few weeks. It took Nappa and Vegeta a year.
Yeah, I think round trip, the Namek trip is supposed to be 2 months, I think they said.
Okay, why is the technology of snail farmers so much more advanced than whoever built those space pods?
Well, there's... Dave, they're farmers now.
Yeah, I'm thinking like ancient... You know, ancient techno civilization thing.
There was a calamity that destroyed their weather.
Oh,
that's true.
And I'm going to point my finger at science for that one.
Right,
they're
the
not
weather.
Like Saiyans. They're not like Saiyans where they're only focused on snail farming. That's everything they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Another one scientist.
So you're saying there might be like 150 shrines somewhere around Namek, filled with ancient technological puzzles and traps.
So you're saying this incredibly advanced spaceship is like archaeotech,
yeah,
pre-fall Namekian technology.
And they do have Dragon Balls, so it could just be that they wished to be good at science for like a week.
Yeah.
Well, because what better motivator is there than just being a snail farmer as your life?
Hey, maybe really... snail farming is really fulfilling to the next.
I mean, hey, I'm not judging.
So, it turns out that this ship is just one massive Alexa, basically.
Yep.
An Alexa for Namekian. I've written down some keywords here.
Yeah, some of the slapstick keywords.
Tapora Koopa Jupe apparently means go to Jupiter. Safety belts apparently means toilets. Because during the wacky antics of the ship flying to Jupiter in 10 seconds, a toilet shows up. Which, can we talk about why that shows up in the cockpit, right next to the captain's chair?
Jason, you know why.
You don't want to leave... Your important chair.
Yeah. No, I just think Namekians are perverts. And apparently just need a chair means bedtime, which causes a bed to appear.
This is different in the Japanese version. The seatbelt toilet is the same. In the Japanese version, Bulma becomes much more self-aware, and she says, "This is really complicated, we have to be careful what we say." And that's when the bed pops up, and Mr. Popo informs her that the Japanese word for complicated means time for a nap in Namekian.
Ah.
Which is nice. A translation
like
I can get behind.
Means time for a nap for me, too.
Yeah. Complicated things.
It's making my head hurt. I just need to zonk.
you could warp yourself into a sun by making small talk on this ship.
Yeah.
Did you catch the game yesterday? Whoosh! It means that Namekians have to be good at sign language. Ah.
So the episode ends with them dancing in front of Jupiter, because they're very excited that they can go to Namek. Are there any other final thoughts for 37?
This just felt so good, because it's like, I don't know, I love stories about going to space. And
people who are excited to do it.
Yes, it makes me so happy. So this just, the end of this episode just made me really happy.
What's exciting to me is Bulma has a deep interest in learning what little Namekian Popo has gleaned from Kami.
Yeah.
But I feel like learning all the Namekian she can, it will be a bit disappointing, because I feel like Kami, who learned a little bit of Namekian, or just from, I guess, some genetic memory, because he's only now realizing that he was Namekian... I feel like he's got a very rudimentary grasp on that language. He knows how to say hello, thank you, he asks where the bathroom is, and how to find the library and discotheque.
How? What do you want to bet that 75% of the Namekian he knows are curse words?
Yeah, and swear words.
That's a good bet.
Episode 38, the English title is Nursing Wounds.
Ah, yes. And the Japanese title translates to Blast Off for Planet Namek. The terror awaiting Gohan and company.
Why does he get the top billing?
I don't know.
Gohan's on the marquee.
He is. But this was Bulma's plan. What's Gohan doing here?
Guess because it's a dramatic question whether or not he'll go.
Back at Capsule Corp, Bulma and her dad, Dr. Briefs, our first time seeing him in Dragon Ball Z, I think.
The bearer of the flame of civilization.
Prometheus himself. And a crew of workers are all working together to refurbish the Namekian ship.
Good comedic shot here, where Bulma is talking to Krillin on the phone, but she can't hear anything he says because it's too loud in the workshop. And so there's just a shot of her screaming angrily into the phone with Mr. Popo's just blank, smiling face in the background, which tickled me.
I was a bit sad to see her hair go back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's tamed her tuft.
Well, it is probably like lab safety, you know? You gotta have it pulled back and under control.
That doesn't stop her from rocking those company coveralls and having a nice pink bow.
Yeah,
Jason, we have achieved the second Bulma fashion this week.
Oh, there's so much. There's
of like
so much
four
fashion.
Or five, I think.
Yeah. This is a very high couture set of episodes. There's a whole runway's worth of looks today.
Yeah, during this conversation, I'm curious, Jason, if you noticed the outfits, like, in the background behind Krillin? Because I saw it and I just loved all of their outfits. There were a bunch of people standing around at, like, it said surgery, but the nurse had a bundle of blankets that looked like maybe a baby. I don't know.
Baby surgery.
But I don't know. But so there was a red-colored short-sleeve shirt with black stars, yellow-green pants, pale blue sneakers with a white toe of their sneakers. There was a very large person with curly hair in a red suit with black pinstripes. A really beefy person with carefully trimmed blonde hair, a white pork pie hat, a red tank with a tasteful cutout in the back, tucked into khaki shorts cinched with a belt and very well creased, and loose yellow-green socks matching the friend's pants.
My goodness.
A small worried human with a light orange baseball cap, a blue shirt tucked into cuffed jeans and black shoes and belt, and then an unidentifiable animal person with maroon shoes and collared shirt and suspenders.
I didn't catch all these.
And this was just like, I really want to know who these people are and what they're doing here.
The bystanders in DBZ are surprisingly detailed.
They are robust.
Can I offer a suggestion for the name of the fashion segment?
Please.
Oh.
Destructo Discutors.
Gesundheit.
I hate your whole life. and you should be ashamed.
This is
I noted that the background characters in the hospital itself seem to be very heavily injured. they all have head wounds.
I was about to say they're probably getting some overflow from East City, right?
The very recent city explosions.
Yes.
Yeah. Tends to leave.
Maybe that's why the nurses don't give a shit when they're treating Goku. They have been awake for 36 hours.
Yeah.
That could be. Gohan sneaks out of bed, and Chi-Chi blames Krillin and Goku, who were both asleep.
Yeah.
Does Krillin not have a bed? Because he was just sleeping, like,
on Goku.
Cocoon.
I noted.
He was using the iron lung as a pillow.
I noted Goku continues to be so happy in his mummy prison.
Well, Gohan starts working out while still injured, and almost plummets to his death.
Yeah, he's doing some very extreme hospital exercises.
And it's just like...
Like Piccolo taught him.
I was going to say, definitely his father's son. both of his fathers.
Pull-ups off the balcony, which, by the way, can we give a shout-out to a hospital that has a balcony?
For the guests.
Or windows that open, honestly.
Before we cut to... Gohan, while Chi-Chi is still yelling, she had gotten some flowers and just angrily throws them at Goku. And Goku kind of, like, really sweetly says, "Thanks for the flowers." It's like, oh, he's just taking every scrap of attention he can get. And it's in the context of a fight, so he understands it.
I made a note for Chi-Chi. She'd been passing a lot of time recently by peeling apples. She had, like, 3 or 4 going, and I'm wondering if she's just getting into whittling to just kind of work on the stress.
Well, she needs to do something with her hands.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of nervous energy.
Yes.
Chi-Chi catches Gohan up on the roof, but he was quick-thinking enough to bring his book with him, which I appreciated. And his book that he's very dutifully studying is on beetles.
Hell yeah.
It just has a picture of a beetle on the front and the back.
I love these bugs. It is actually, I've got a screenshot. Those two beetles are the, they're the two beetles that are very common in Japanese culture. One's like the stag beetle, and one's
the Hercules.
The Hercules. Yes. And you often see that dichotomy a lot in, like, a bunch of anime and tokusatsu and stuff like that. Like, it's around. I'm not sure why there's such a cultural fascination around these two beetles.
Oh, yeah, one of the Kamen Riders has a cell phone that's one of those, right?
Yeah, Kabuto was all about that.
Bulma heads back to the hospital, letting everybody know that the ship will be ready to go in about 5 days, and that the trip itself will be 2 months for the round trip. Popo says that he can't go, because he can't leave the guardian post on Earth unattended.
Mm-hmm.
So Bulma starts looking for volunteers, and the room is silent. Roshi says he'll go. He gets shot down very fast.
Yeah.
Krillin tries to bail, even though it was his goddamn idea to go in the first place.
Exactly. Oh, Krilla.
Well, he passed it off as a very kind of weak excuse, because he's like, I should be training.
Yeah.
I just gotta
Come
train
on, Bulma.
More.
I don't want to save all our friends. I gotta train for Vegeta.
He was completely useless before, so...
Yeah, he got showed up twice by Yajirobe.
Mm-hmm.
Gohan shouts that he wants to go to space with Bulma and Krillin, which surprises everybody.
I feel like there was a scene here, like, when he shouts, like, I'm going to Namek! That feels like... You ever get one of those scenes where you're like, ah, this was a panel in the original. Like, it was very
bad. You can definitely see the ones that are just lifted.
Yeah. Which, I mean, like, total respect. Like, they're there for a reason.
Right. They're basically the boards.
they're like keyframes, practically.
I appreciated his reasoning. Like, he doesn't want to go just because it would be fun, like Goku would. he feels responsible for what happened to Piccolo, and he wants to help bring him back.
Yeah. I feel for Chi-Chi in this scene, like, very much, because Chi-Chi is begging and pleading at every opportunity for her family to forget that they're anime protagonists.
Let's just eat picnics and play baseball.
Be fans of Yakuza's team.
That really struck me as, like, I'm pretty sure that's a thing that, like, I've heard other, like, real-life moms, you know, say about, like, wanting to make their life different from their child. Because I'm pretty sure growing up with Ox King, she did not get to have picnics and watch TV and go to bed.
Right.
Your house was on a mountain surrounded by fire all the time. So, that's what I wanted to pick your brain about, Aaron. Like, Chi-Chi has a big diatribe of kids are supposed to like baseball and camping and kid things. I mean, is Chi-Chi on the nose here? Gohan is 5.
Yeah. Important to remember. He is 5.
Like, what kind of stuff? Like, he's 5 and he's witnessed, like, death.
Yeah, he's 5 and he's traumatized, and I'm not a psychiatrist, so...
Important to note.
I didn't even major in psychology. I took no psychology classes. But, like, I'm pretty sure fighting aliens and witnessing death is a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And watching your dad and dad figure die for protecting you is also a trauma.
Saw both of his dads die.
Yep, and I don't know. I mean, like, there's a thing of repetition compulsion of wanting to go back into those kinds of traumas and fix them by redoing it. But like, this was also like a really awful year for Chi-Chi. I mean,
perhaps the most.
Considering the world that she lives in, I think her being overprotective is understandable.
Therapy is not an occupation, is not an option for people in this world. Not yet, I don't think.
Yeah, but Dr. Briefs hasn't invented it yet.
Dr. Briefs hasn't invented that. No.
I go on this had to grow up very fast in this scenario.
Gohan does eventually manage to shout Chi-Chi down and wins the argument. So the plan going forward is to everybody meet up in 10 days, which gives Bulma enough time to create a Namekian to English translator, and for Gohan and Krillin to finish up their rest in the hospital.
And we've officially reached the point where I have not seen past.
Oh man, you missed some fashion coming up.
Oh!
I'm looking forward to seeing it as soon as we're done.
Yeah. During these 10 days, Gohan and Goku do a little bit of bonding together in the hospital.
Yeah.
They sneak in some training while Chi-Chi is not in the room.
Yeah, Goku does like an up high with his hand, and Gohan
as little
it.
As he can move it in the tomb.
Yeah.
Medical tomb.
Yeah, he puts his hand up and he just tells Gohan, hit it as hard as you can. Don't hold back.
And Goku's just like, you're ready.
Pass the test.
Gohan and Krillin are discharged from the hospital, so they go to meet up with Bulma at Kame House.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they brought the ship to Kame House? Probably in a capsule, would be my bet. Because it's just waiting there on the island.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a lot of great fashion from Bulma and Krillin.
Fashion, fashion, fashion.
And Gohan. So, don't forget Gohan.
Well, he's coming up.
Oh, okay.
Don't you worry.
He's the piece de resistance.
We'll get to
don't
him.
Don't you worry. We have Bulma's killer spacesuit that I love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
And with her spacesuit hair, which she canonically says, like, I trimmed it to fit the space helmet
and to be easier to draw.
Yeah, that too. We have Krillin, with a blue and green, or no, yellow and green, like a sports jacket.
Yeah, like a track jacket.
Yeah.
Almost. Or a varsity kind of looking thing.
Yeah, like he's got a Letterman jacket. Let's be honest. He did not chip in for that at senior year, let's be real. And he has a cap that has Kulilin on it.
Kulilin.
Which is just another way to say Krillin. No judging. Roshi's got some breezy beach wear.
About Roshi.
He looks like he's about to hit up, like, the Fire Island food trucks, because he's got, like, a like a salmon-colored tank top and just these high, like, bleached denim shorty shorts. I have run into this gentleman more than once.
He is dangerously close to wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. The only miss I've got here is Chi-Chi, where she has her typical, like, dress and sort of, like, shawl thing that she ties, right?
Yeah.
Except the shawl is a lemon yellow, and the dress is camo green.
See, I liked that it was the same outfit but different colors.
It's about, like, this is what happens if you both pick Chi-Chi in the character select screen.
Yeah.
and she's the palette swap mirror match.
That's P2 Chi-Chi.
Yeah, she definitely showed up today.
Jason, tell me about Gohan's fashion.
Where do I begin? We'll start from the top down.
Because
the top is really the headliner of the show, because Gohan got a little haircut. And
he has a perfect bowl cut now.
He has
right?
a perfect baby bowl cut. He is ready for his first day of school. I feel like it's modeled after, like, grade school uniforms, I think, right?
There's a comment to this in the Japanese version in a minute later.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Because he's got, like, a little blazer jacket, a little bow tie, like, little school shorts. He looks like he got dragged into this outfit and taken to church, basically. his Sunday worst. So what exactly is this comment?
Once they're on the ship later, Krillin calls it his Shichigo-san outfit, which Shichigo-san is a festival day, a traditional rite of passage day for kids. Although most of the clothes that I usually see is little, like, kimono type things. But I guess this is an option as well. But I feel like it's the same kind of comment as if you, like, ragging on someone to get out of their cotillion clothes or something.
Yeah.
It's picture day.
It's Gohan's quinceanera.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of makes sense. If it's like a rite of passage thing, like, I mean, that's pretty thematic too. Because this is
fit.
Going to space.
Uh-huh.
That's basically kindergarten.
Bulma is the only one who's taking this mission very seriously. The other two are kind of treating it like a vacation.
Yeah, complete with, like, 15 fucking pieces of luggage.
Yeah, Gohan is packed, ready to go.
His Dragon Ball branded luggage.
Yes.
He has
it's got
a bag.
Dragon Ball written on it.
Oh yeah, I would love that duffel bag.
Krillin, inversely, has a duffel bag.
Yeah.
Tells you a lot, I think.
Yeah. For 2 months, that's all he needs.
Yeah.
I just liked Bulma's very stern use of piccolo as to raise and lower the door.
Piccolo.
Both times. It was like an action movie moment for her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
On the ship, Gohan managed to sneak his piccolo gi into the luggage, so he changes into that almost immediately.
Yeah.
Oh. He, in the word choice in the Japanese version, Gohan says that he made those clothes.
Really?
Huh.
Oh, yeah. My sweet boy.
Did he learn clothes beam while he was training with Piccolo?
He's been studying pretty hard.
This episode concludes with a fourth fashion from Bulma.
Ladies and gentlemen.
She is on fire.
Please, please welcome to the runway. My favorite outfit for Bulma in this entire series. Da da da. Da 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 da. Yes! This is peak Bulma. It is that yellow jacket, and whenever I think of Bulma, I think of this jacket. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, it is like it's a reference to the spacesuit too. It's like a pared down version. It's iconic. It's good in all kinds of weather.
It's her adventure gear.
It is her. Yes,
she's ready for some science field work.
And I could have sworn there was definitely a line of Dragon Ball action figures that were a little more articulate than like the typical shoulder joints and nothing else.
Yeah.
And I remember in that line there definitely was a Bulma figure, and it was this Bulma.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that adorned my collection of DBZ figures that I maintained in youth. It stood out in my mind. This is peak Bulma. Get ready. Live for it, because I am.
I have a note to share here to give you the tragic circumstances of this outfit's appearance.
Oh? There's the tragedy?
The dark backstory?
When Bulma goes to change out of her spacesuit, that Krillin's like, oh, you're going to put on your pajamas or something. And then she comes back, and they're confused about her change in clothing. And when she's yelling at them, she's telling them that she changed because when she saw them, she felt like an idiot for taking going to space so seriously.
She's
overdressed in her fucking astronaut suit.
Mm-hmm. She got self-conscious.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I don't think they ever end up needing those, do they?
They don't. She expected them to.
Yeah. Quite reasonably.
Yeah, that seems
it makes sense.
If you're going to space, you need a spacesuit.
Yeah.
See, that's kind of what stuck out for me, and I'm wondering if there was a translation difference, because towards the end of this episode, in the English dub, she was kind of, like, more... She was a little more aggressive towards...
She's very cross.
Very cross, yes. She had very little patience for Krillin and Gohan's small talk and antics.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if maybe in the Japanese, like, they sort of slighted her or something.
I don't know that they necessarily slighted her. I think she's just, like, I mean, this is her, holy shit, guys, we're going to space. And
well, also, I think...
It's the mission versus vacation dichotomy again.
Yeah, right.
And well, and also, I think it's very clear in her mind still why they're doing this. Like, to bring back people that they loved from the dead.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a sacred mission, and you idiots are gallivanting around.
You think you're going to summer camp.
Right.
If one of you fucks up, I don't get Yamcha back.
Right.
Yeah, that's forever. A good point.
Pretty big break in that appearance between the end of this episode and the beginning of the next episode.
Oh, brother.
Any closing thoughts on 38 before we move over to 39?
Oh, boy.
You're up.
Yes, I do have one final note.
Okay.
Which is, Gohan makes sure to say goodbye to Turtle.
Ah. That's nice.
He did!
He did make friends with that Turtle in, like, the second episode.
Gohan's a good boy.
Episode 39, the English title is Friends or Foes?
And you know what? This is actually pretty close. In the Japanese title, it translates to Friends or Foes? Children of the Mysterious Giant Spaceship.
So a little bit of a spoiler.
A little bit of extra, they decided to add.
So this episode opens with a note that's just, Bulma ain't doing so hot.
The final episode ended with a fourth fashion from Bulma. This episode begins with a fifth fashion from Bulma.
Yeah, and
it's a little more on the fan service-y side than the other ones have been.
As a note, this takes place a week later.
Yes,
it's only been a week.
So Bulma has turned her spaceship into kind of like a dorm room in less than a week.
I think that it has more than a little bit in common with the state of Mr. Satan's apartment.
Yeah. Bury that. Magazines everywhere, junk food, takeout boxes.
From where? Who knows?
Also, the fact that she wakes up, rolls out of bed, and immediately opens a beer.
Yeah.
That makes sense. She just cements the fact that it's a dorm room.
Yeah.
She slugs back a beer after waking up from a nap. And she wonders if it's been 6 or 7 days of flying. So, Jason, for Aaron, describe the fashion.
The fifth fashion, the fanservice-y fashion, Bulma is just kind of spending this episode in her underwear. I mean, it's just kind of a light gray bra and panty.
It's at least a tank top.
It is. Oh, is it? Yeah.
But then,
so right. there, there's some trivia about this outfit also.
Really?
Yeah, it's a reference.
Is it? Oh.
It's still fan service, but it's a reference. It was meant to be designed after how Ripley looks at the very end of Alien.
Oh, yeah!
When she's running around in her underwear.
I can see that.
Because Toriyama is a fool for some xenomorphs. Which we will see later on as well.
That makes sense. Oh, yeah, we sure will.
Don't God. Spoil it for the kids at home.
And the kids here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was paying some attention to, like, how she was being framed in these shots.
Yeah.
And honestly, they weren't, like, too... Like, despite her wearing, like, very obviously, like, lingerie, like, yeah. She wasn't posed, like, very too sexually. She that I remember.
Nothing jumped out at me as being, like, your typical kind of gross close-ups or anything like that.
I think she's too pathetic, almost. Like, I mean that completely seriously. Like, she's obviously a wreck. And it's like, it's just that the tone just isn't there.
Going to space is a bit of a disappointment, it sounds like.
Yeah, it reads to me more as just, like, kind of... This is kind of what she would probably wear on a Sunday in college.
Sure.
Rolling out of bed and slugging a beer.
It's
She's falling back on old habits, is what I'm saying.
It could be worse.
Yeah.
That's the best we can say.
Krillin and Gohan are sparring in their brains against each other.
Yeah, she calls it image training.
Yeah, I guess that's a thing they can do.
Yeah! What?
And they appear on, like, an invisible flat, infinite flat plane in an endless starscape of galaxies.
Galaxy background. It is Final Destination, no items.
Yeah. But without the platform.
Yeah.
No items, no platform.
This is tantric fighting.
Gohan wins using a special beam cannon.
Yeah, I noted that.
And when they wake up, Krillin says, like, Gohan, you're getting really good at that. And when I was watching with Gordy, he's like, they could just, like, they're just making everything up, though. it's in their heads.
It is the equivalent of, no, I dodged it. I have a shield. I have a special beam cannon.
To be honest, Jay, I think that prepares them for the actual situations they're going to face in this show pretty well.
Yeah.
Bulma wants them to clean up the mess around the ship, and Krillin says, you're the one who caused the mess. We don't read magazines or drink beer. That's all your stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Krillin didn't bring enough stuff to make this much of a mess.
Exactly.
True. Back at the hospital, Goku, still a mummy, is doing sit-ups out of his lung.
Jesus Christ, Goku.
And Roshi is facilitating and occasionally hitting on the nurses.
Thanks, Roshi.
An amazing thing happens
gotta
here.
Gotta be reminded that he's a pervert.
In case you forgot.
In the Japanese version, the doctor comes in and nicknames Roshi Grandpa Gladhands. That's how they subtitle it.
Okay, that's really good.
That kind of rules, honestly.
That's his name now.
Yeah. At the end of the scene, that's what the nurse is laughing at.
Back on the ship, Bulma's getting curious about the Saiyan that got away. She wonders what happened to him. And Krillin's not sure where he went to either, because he remembers, their planet is gone.
Yeah, where could they go off to?
We get to see Vegeta, who is lightly pulped in his pod. And he's rocketing off somewhere to be healed.
It's kind of like wondering where Darth Vader went after episode 4.
Oh, yeah.
Gohan sees something strange coming towards the ship. It ends up being dozens of little drone ships that appear out of thin air and start attacking them.
Yeah, they're barraged with laser fire.
Luckily, though, the Namekian ship is also packing heat.
And leave it to a Namekian ship to be equipped with a mouth beam. Because out it comes, out of where I would expect a mouth to be on this weird little, like, origami dog bug.
Origami Dog Bug is the name of my indie band.
After they rid themselves of the drones, they see that there's another ship approaching them, and it looks identical to theirs.
What?
Whoa.
That's insane.
It's coming right at them.
Ah! Well, we should turn out of the way.
Yeah, so they try to turn out of the way, but it turns the same way!
What?
Whoa!
So they're on a collision course with an identical ship, and then all of a sudden, they just phase into nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Is this where the commercial break was? Does anybody remember?
I believe so, yes.
I never note those, but that one sticks out in my mind.
The commercial break, it pulls away, and we see that the stars aren't quite moving in sync.
Ah, right.
We see an ominous silhouette that looks sort of like a light bulb in a way, when the light from some distant star plays off of it. And it looks to be like some massive reflective ship that our friends have careened into and been absorbed by.
Yeah, so they realize that they're in a much bigger ship, so they decide to go out and take a look around and try to figure out what's going on. Krillin brings with him his Kame hat for courage.
I love that hat.
Was it him or was it Bulma that was sitting on it? So he has to, like,
he was sitting on his
punch
own hat.
It out.
Yeah. Like a goober.
And Bulma still did not put pants on.
Yeah, they get outside and Bulma forgets that she wasn't wearing clothes. And she just decides, I'll deal with it.
Yep.
It is apparently very cold in this ship.
Yeah, it's fucking freezing in here, but eh.
Yeah. The ship's also, like, right there. You can just easily go back in, but...
You just say Piccolo.
Yep.
You're just a Piccolo away from pants, Bulma.
Bulma's a
That's
tough
a good
girl.
Life wisdom in general.
It's just a Piccolo away from pants.
Bulma's a tough girl sometimes.
So they inch along a very narrow corridor. It appears that it has... The wall is full of guns.
Oh, crap.
That start popping out.
We went down the gun hallway.
I wrote down, they are ambushed by a trap from a StarCraft facility level.
I got sort of inklings, feelings from this whole sequence. It made me think a lot about Goku and company sneaking around Emperor Pilaf's castle. And I'm wondering if
it's sort of similar to that.
They're kind of using those set pieces, like traps, hallways... misdirection.
It's a throwback to a couple of times in Dragon Ball, because there were some Red Ribbon Army episodes in like a pirate cove that was full of traps also. And it felt very reminiscent to this.
Toriyama just loves some traps.
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, it was extremely reminiscent because Bulma was in a bikini in that episode.
Oh my god.
And before, Bulma was in some kind of, She had like a tube top on and like these sort of puffy pants, pointed shoes from
But they had to swim to the cove, so she took her clothing off.
Fashion.
Fashion.
So they escape the gun hallway.
They do. Krillin is bashing some of the guns in, and Gohan is just dragging Bulma to safety.
Some quick time events, some might say.
Yes.
They continue to inch along the corridor, but the walls start to close in around them, and then it starts to fill with acid.
Yay.
I have a note for this. I have a feeling, I think that there's a definite misunderstanding about what's happening.
Yeah?
I think that the walls close in, they form a cube around our heroes in this anime saw trap. I think whoever is in charge of the ship was greeting their new visitors... with a tasty snack of nutritive sludge that just happened to be very incompatible with human anatomy. And like,
yeah, it's got a little kick to it.
A little bit of a zing.
It burns on the way down.
They had the best intentions. You know, it just didn't work out. So Krillin drops his hat and it gets dissolved.
A little bit.
No.
Just the top bit.
Yeah.
Gohan picks Bulma up off the ground so that she is not devoured by slime.
Yeah.
And Krillin Kamehameha is a way out. Busts the wall down.
I was genuinely surprised by this whole episode. Because it's like, wow, it's just them having an adventure.
Yeah.
Like, it's just them doing stuff and using their toolkit to overcome challenges.
See, this is why filler can be fun.
Yeah.
I love it when they do this stuff.
When Goku is removed from the picture... the show becomes very entertaining.
They need to think their way out of problems.
Yeah,
I guess that's not fair. Like, it becomes more conventionally entertaining. It becomes like something you would see on another show.
And I feel like there was way more of this in Dragon Ball because it was way more adventure than just straight up combat.
They're still wondering about Vegeta. We get another flash over to him, still flying and muttering to himself about, like, fuck that Kakarot. I need to get so beefy. They're still stuck in that very shitty hallway, and Krillin spots a bright red door on the ceiling.
Yeah, that looks absolutely nothing like the surrounding landscape. It looked like an Alice in Wonderland door.
Very much so. He flies up to try and open it, but then an entryway sort of opens in the hallway where Gohan and Bulma are, so they decide to walk down that way.
This part of the episode drives me crazy.
Yeah?
This door is never brought up again.
Never resolved. Why is it there? What does it do?
It's this red painted door. It's there, and then it never exists.
So tantalizing.
Who knows what's
must
behind
know.
It? Could be anything.
So, they go down this other hallway. How does that pan out for our heroes, Tyler?
Well, the floor drops out from underneath them, and they are starting to get sucked into the vacuum of space.
Yep.
Fucking trash vent.
Krillin and Gohan start to shoot beams to slow their momentum down, instead of just flying like normal.
Yeah, I don't know why they decided to do that, but...
They wanted to do it in a visually interesting way.
Maybe the vacuum was pulling them away too hard that their normal key flight couldn't, you know, let them escape, so they had to literally use propulsion.
They needed the beam kickback?
Yeah, yeah. It has been established several times that key blasts make very good retro thrusters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, yeah,
and Bulma is somehow absolutely not toast in this crossfire.
Right. They almost forget to grab her.
Yeah. Whoops.
But Gohan, at the last moment, grabs an ankle and yanks her up.
Yeah.
And now we need to observe a moment of silence for Krillin's hat.
In the audience, please remove your hats
and throw them into space.
please remove the top of the hat first
to honor its sacrifice. They start talking about Vegeta again, and Bulma tells them to stop because just talking about him is giving her goosebumps. Just like, Bulma, I'm pretty sure you're getting goosebumps because you are not wearing pants in a poorly heated starship. It's not because they're talking about Vegeta.
The lack of pants is a contributor. They did make it out of that last trap alive, but they start to smell something very delicious nearby.
Delicious,
there's a buffet spread out on a fancy dinner table in the middle of a chamber.
A fucking Looney Tunes fancy feast.
And this derelict starship.
Of delicious earth food.
It was, again, sort of like Alice in Wonderland looking.
I thought when I saw this, okay, this dining room definitely belongs to a fae, and if they eat any of the food, they belong to him forever.
Yeah.
Except his hospitality.
Well, it was another trap, turns out, and Bulma gets stuck in it.
Well, that's the thing, Bulma immediately called it.
Yeah.
The trigger for this trap is very funny.
Because by moving the utensils, the fork and knife, a hidden knife in the fruit bowl fucking flies out like a dirt trap.
Yeah.
And whizzes by Bulma's head and lands on a button which activates the actual trap.
Which is like a secure and sets off an alarm, I think. Like
it's
very elaborate.
So this is a Resident Evil trap.
So she gets encased in a dome and they can't see what's going on. And then she is rocketed into the sky to a catwalk above Gohan and Krillin. Attached to a grappling hook thing.
Yeah, some kind of, like, suspension apparatus.
Mm-hmm.
So
she ends up with a bunch of guns in her face.
Yeah, this is the very quintessential, like, dangling damsel position.
That's very familiar.
Yeah. The old dangling damsel trick.
Vegeta knows it well.
Uh-huh.
Last time Nappa was the damsel. And then a horde of small to middle-aged children with guns, all dressed in like very spacey, like pulpy outfits.
Yes.
With lots of goggles and rubber.
Welcome to Plight of the Orphans in Space! Mm-hmm.
Yeah, are you guys ready for our second orphanage episode? This time in space?
They also burst in. And they surround Gohan and Krillin and pack in so closely that it's like the Force Unleashed 2 trailer. If any of them tried to back up any of their threats at any point, they would definitely shoot each other.
Yeah.
Gohan and Krillin get in some fighting stances, ready to defend themselves,
to
and Bulma shouts down, "Don't fight them, they will shoot me."
Bulma's got the right idea.
Yeah, they decide to surrender, and that is the cliffhanger of this episode.
Yeah, it's a good note to end on.
Cliffhanger of the season.
Yeah.
Cliffhanger of the season.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that is the end of season one of Funimation's Dragon Ball Z. as they break it down, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as they see fit.
There was a moment earlier where when Chi-Chi is on the roof thinking about her little Gohan, and in the Japanese version, she's upset because she told Gohan to write her every day, and he hasn't. And so it made me wonder
that's a pretty good joke.
About space mail and maybe like some type of Grubhub situation that Bulma might have had to get all of that food that she was eating up there.
Could be.
Chi-Chi is a very complicated person. She spent so much time reprimanding Gohan's like, "How dare you go on this space trip, leaving me all alone on Earth? You're gonna get yourself killed." You know, I mean, she's it's right to feel, you know, powerless in this situation, because she's had so much, you know, agency sort of removed.
Did she ever have that agency?
Exactly.
She had that agency when she had that arsenal coming down the stairs.
she's clamoring for every scrap she can to protect her family and her loved ones. But at the same time, in the English, when she was on the roof, she was, you know, kind of proud of Gohan for, you know, doing the right thing and, you know, going on this adventure to help bring back friends, loved ones.
Taking responsibility.
Yeah.
Finding a positive way to look at it. Breaking out of those harmful thought patterns.
So how do you guys, the panel that I have here, feel having completed a season of Dragon Ball Z for this show?
I feel accomplished.
Still invested?
Or feel good once I watch the final episode and the half.
This is uncharted territory for me, so I'm excited to see where we're going.
Yeah, Melissa, we have reached your cliff, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is new going forward?
Yeah.
I'm ready to go even further beyond.
I'm so ready.
Exciting.
Well, that's it for the episodes this week, but before we take off, we do have to hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Howdy,
I'm
Satan.
Read some of the bullet points from last week so that everybody knows where we're at vis-a-vis Hercule, as he is now known. Hercule finally defeated his rivals at the Satan Dojo.
The Nation of Damnation.
In a match that was taking place during the first annual Bacterian Memorial Fundraiser. Which was established in an attempt to raise enough money to rebuild East City and whatever that other city was that Nappa blew up.
Yeah.
When he was waiting for Goku to show up.
North by Northeast City.
Hercule celebrates both the victories. Well, his victory in the ring and his victory against the aliens that he definitely totally did with a parade through Orange Star City. Meanwhile, some giant apes are running around in the wasteland, whatever. Nobody notices that.
It's just a regular Tuesday.
The farmer from episode 2 or 1, was he in 1?
Episode 1, isn't it?
He goes even deeper down the Z-Warrior rabbit hole, collecting evidence of their existence, including a broken shard of Baba's crystal ball that falls out of the airboat. He is discreetly trying to disseminate the information that he's gathered about Hercule.
So I feel like going forward, Hercule this is the first time Hercule has gone from zero to hero, just like that.
No time flat.
When he smiles, the crowd goes wild. Okay, I'm done.
He's got cash to burn, some might say. He's got merchandising. He's got, I feel like he's gonna
A pair of perfect pecs?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Bless my soul.
I I gotta say, he's gotta capitalize on all this fame, all this notoriety. He's gonna get he's gonna get some merchandise out there that, you know, doesn't involve him taking his clothes off.
Right.
My question is, you know, they say the first thing an artist does when they get famous is they try to cover their tracks.
Sure.
Do you think Hercule would be trying to shy his brand away from his former adult film career, or do you think he would be, you know, very forward-thinking, very positive, and embrace it, is what I'm saying?
If he were anyone else, I would say the former.
Mm.
But he's not anyone else. He's Hercule Satan.
He is Hercule Satan.
You know what happens?
What's that?
The most reputable newspaper or news organization in this world labors for months documenting his adult film career and getting ready to break the scandal on Earth's New Hero. And they're this is going to be the biggest story
we're
that's
gonna
ever
take
happened.
Him down.
And then the day before they publish it, he just starts talking about it on TV.
Would you say that he tweets it out?
Oh, he totally does.
With screen caps.
I have an important question, a query.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is Mr. Satan's Twitter handle?
Oh, God. Oh,
holy shit.
Very important. Excellent question.
No more important question has ever been asked.
I have my typical dumb answer.
Please.
Dynamite Click.
Fantastic. I was going to say, it's one of those things where they do... There are so many fake celebrity Twitter accounts that they have to do something to distinguish themselves. So he has to go like Hercule or official,
right?
Or like the real Satan.
The real Satan is pretty good, also. Hey, y'all, it's me, the real Satan.
The real Satan one.
Yes. Yeah.
his Twitter bio is one of those things where you see like those very like TED Talky kind of guy Twitter bios where they just have like word. Word. Other word. He's like teacher, mentor, martial artist.
Boss. He's got to have thought leader in there.
Thought leader.
Oh, for sure.
Tastemaker. Maybe as time goes by, he starts adding more titles to the Twitter handle, to the Twitter bio.
Just keeps going.
He keeps petitioning, probably Capsule Corp, who runs it, mm-hmm. obviously, for them to keep adding character limits. Because he keeps wanting to add words.
His Twitter bio is thought leader, mentor, very good mustache, good
dynamite
kicks.
So he's saved the world once, now, officially.
Yes,
he's in the spotlight, and we have a great opportunity presented to us because for like the next 100 episodes or so. None of the events take place on Earth, so he can just kind of do whatever he wants.
I was going to ask about that. I'm curious how you intend to handle that.
When we do meet him, he's known as like the world champion, and I think like we've talked about some of the seedier elements around him, like his ex-wife and this farmer. Like, we can invent a rogues gallery for him to have dealt with on his own.
Yeah.
Like, gaining more and more notoriety as he goes.
Not being very familiar with the character, I felt the need to ask. So, like, you introduced him as, quote-unquote, the world's strongest normal man. Like,
yeah.
Is that actually legit?
Like, I believe that
in terms of not crazed superheroes with key powers,
yeah.
Is he actually, like, a legit fighter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the strongest guy that cannot, like, beam or fly.
The strongest guy that cannot fly. Also in his Twitter bio.
Okay, that honestly recontextualizes all of this a little bit. I was kind of thinking...
Yeah, he's a joke compared to Z-Warriors,
But I've been kind of thinking about him as like a Kaifus Kane type character this whole time, where like he never actually accomplishes anything. He just knows how to spin things so that he can take credit for everything. And there is some that, I take it. But
he
is actually capable of things, of dynamite.
He's like the Hawkeye of the DBZ Warriors. Like, he's very competent at what he does, but it's not impressive compared to everybody else.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
here's my question. In our canon,
yeah,
he's got his crew, right? It's
Miss Pizza.
Miss Pizza, Piroshki,
and Caroni.
Caroni. Have we established...
Cannoli, I thought.
Have we
and Cannoli.
Oh. Cannoli.
Caroni and Cannoli.
have we established the Caroni and Piroshki as being part of his crew yet?
Yeah, as part of his like cadre of like friend fighters at Satan Dojo.
Oh, I see.
Not necessarily his crime-fighting team.
Right.
But he can start building that family if you want.
Hell yeah.
Thus far, it's just him and Cannoli taken to the streets.
You know, I want to say that... I want Piroshki and Caroni to be nemeses turned friends.
What if...
Nemeses of each other or of him?
Of Mr. Satan. I want him... Okay. I want Mr. Satan to best them and induct them into his crew of road dogs.
Okay. Would one of them be a fighter in the Bacterian Memorial Tournament?
Yeah.
I was gonna say, like, it's in proper Dragon Ball Z fashion.
It could be a matter of, it could be a matter of, like, Piroshki and Caroni were part of the Satan Dojo, and they do not buy any of Hercule's bullshit.
None of the hype.
Yeah.
They see it all as the flash that it is.
Mm-hmm. Because they've worked with him. They know. They know his tricks.
they've seen his AE files.
Yeah. So it's time to... They're calling him out, is what I'm saying.
They were one of the sources for those journalists.
Mm.
They were going to take him down.
But he got out in front of it.
Foiled them again.
Yes.
Curses.
Satan!
Mark! If there's any
he just
name
twirls his mustache. Oh, content.
No, I'm realizing, like, he gets out in front of the porn thing. He decides to own that.
Yeah.
But on pain of death, he can never let anyone discover that his name is Mark.
true name?
I think he has people killed to protect that secret.
That could be the drama. They know his true name. They have power over him.
It's true.
They can wield ill over him.
And does the farmer know? Or will the farmer know?
That's yeah, we need to address
that.
That
could be the
saga
that happens while we're away from Earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's another episode entirely, I think. We need to be able to commit proper effort and time and focus to the farmer's saga.
Yeah. I want to get that guy in like a junky mech suit that he built himself.
Oh my god.
I'm 100% behind this.
Please.
Based on
in the form of his birds.
Oh my goodness. It's a junky mech suit made out of the exploded Raditz pod parts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh shit.
It's exactly.
Alien
Did
tech.
Did I just make this 40 times cooler than it was originally? Because I hope I did.
I think you made it 40 times cooler than Mr. Satan deserves. Which I'm also here for.
Alright, Jason, time for a cool down.
We need a cool down.
We got riled up talking about Mr. Satan again. It always happens.
Yeah, Satan always gets my blood boiling. So
really? Turns up the heat. The flames of hell.
So the way we like to end our show, we like to flip over to the horoscope section of our local paper and try to pull out a little pearl of wisdom for one of our DBZ characters, because as you know, some of these characters do in fact have actual birthdays, which means they have signs.
Jason, what's your saying?
What's my saying? Well, my saying today, I had to meditate on this a little bit, because I was very torn between...
Yeah.
Between Bulma, who's a Leo, and Gohan, who's a Taurus.
Two key figures this week.
Mm. Very key. And speaking of key, I decided to err on Gohan, because I think it feels a little more... It feels like a tie is a little bit closer to the happenstances. So Gohan, I hope you're listening. This bit of advice is for you. Today you might feel the need to be of service to others. Your humanitarian instincts are high, though you tend to over-idealize the concept a little bit. It's wonderful to help those less fortunate, but often the process involves a lot of commitment and of time and energy. So if you decide to do this, it could transform your life in a profound way. Be prepared for some pretty heavy changes.
Now, all right, Jay, just level with us. Are you writing these?
No, ma'am. I am on a horoscopes website, and I am plucking.
Is the person who runs said website a DBZ fan?
There is a van parked outside right now. Yeah, I'm waiting to log in one day, and it says, for Aries, it'll say, you may be fighting Frieza today, Aries.
Right.
Well, I think that's going to do it for another episode of Destructive Discourse. Thank you all for listening in again. Jason, where are you around this old internet?
This old internet of mine, gosh. Well, you can find me on either Tumblr or Twitter, and the name is JCAVS for both, JAYCALVES.
Melissa, how about you?
I am on Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr as Christaya, and I'm not going to spell it anymore, because only the worthy will find me.
Yep. Only the worthy will find that dope art.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, what's going on with you?
If you read fan fiction, you can find me at Scythe, PSYTHE, on Archive of Our Own. If anyone's nice. Even remotely interested.
Considering your contributions to the canon thus far.
Yeah.
Well, don't tempt me. I'm thinking about writing this fucking Mr. Satan thing when we get to the end.
David is my dream.
Excellent.
We'll see.
Aaron, any announcements from you?
No. You can find me poking around abandoned spaceships in the frozen wasteland.
Now, will you be wearing a space suit?
Yes.
Or are you just going to take the Bulma route?
The full space suit.
Good to hear.
You can find Aaron around Yunzibit Heights.
Yes. With pants.
Awesome. You can listen to my second podcast. Well, technically the first. It was way before this one. What the Folklore, which comes out every Tuesday and Sunday, where myself and my two roommates talk about folktales from around the globe, and we sort of riff on them in a Mystery Science Theater kind of way. As for this show, you can follow us on Twitter at destructo_disc, D-I-S-C. You can email us at destructodiscourse@gmail.com. And you can rate and review us on iTunes. Please do, and when you do, click that 4-star button. 4-star reviews only.
Why?
We demand it.
Because that's the Gohan ball. Give us the Gohan.
We demand the Gohan.
We will carpe that Gohan.
We will carpe every Gohan. And I have checked and we've gotten some, so that's good. It's working.
You guys are wonderful. The true fans.
Mm-hmm. We will see you next week. Until then, this has been Destructo Discourse. Never turns to day. Don't you be afraid, go fly away. Chala, chala. No time to hesitate. Don't want to search the earth. But then about the magic surprise. Oh. Chala, chala. Be cool, don't be afraid. You got the power to get you through the night. Chala, chala. No time to hesitate. Gonna search the earth. Within it by the magic surprise.